Welcome to the In and Under podcast again with your hosts, Alex and Carmen. Alex, I'm going to let you tell us what episode number it is because you were frothing at the bit last week.
Speaking of frothing, mate, guess what I'm drinking as we speak?
Wow. You tell me, mate.
I'm having a Guinness, mate, because you know what episode it is. It's episode 33.
Nice.
And if your trees are dirty, give them a good clean.
Just to translate, it's episode 33. Let's get stuck into it. NBA. Playoffs have well and truly begun, Alex. Tournament ended. We're into the first games of playoffs. I think, has everyone played their first game of the series? I'm pretty sure.
Oh, that is a question for someone more qualified than myself, mate.
Nah, I think as of today, everyone has played the first game in the series.
So they officially started yesterday, our time, which was Sunday. And they continued today, obviously, as they do. And yeah, it looks as though we're straight back into it. So we are in the delightful postseason. It is no messing around from here. It's all systems go, as they say, in the train world.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we get into playoff talk, should we bring up the big news headline that preceded the playoffs?
Go on, mate. I'm keen to hear it.
Is it the brother of Michael Porter Jr.?
Correct.
Yeah, so the brother of Michael Porter Jr., Jonte Porter.
We all have a friend called Jonte, don't we?
Yeah. hold on a sec. Let me get this up because I had something saved. Oh, yeah.
Jonte so taking the piss, mate. Jonte taking the piss. That's what we'll call him.
Yeah, he definitely took the piss. So I think we mentioned it on an episode where he was under investigation for, gambling?
Yeah, like betting allegations.
Yeah, betting allegations. So that investigation finished up and he has been banned forever.
Yeah, a life ban, which, I mean, we'll get into what he did, and then I want to ask you the question, is it fair? So do you want me to tell us?
Yeah, you tell us exactly what he did, mate. Well, if you need help, I've got it here.
Essentially, he disclosed confidential information about his fitness to sports bettors and limited his participation in one particular game. And this is just the main allegation that he's come under scrutiny for. So this was a game against the Kings. He plays for Raptors, Toronto Raptors. And basically he told a few people around him to go unders on his low line because he was starting the game. But then he left within 3 minutes, I think, with an illness and didn't return to the game. So obviously suspicious circumstances. The bets hit, but you couldn't do it any more suspiciously, could you?
No, I don't think so.
Like, oh, yeah, 2 minutes in, I've got the runs, can't come back out, sorry.
All right, you keep going and then just ask me the question that you
wanted
to ask.
Yeah, no, I was just getting you to interject for that moment, mate. And then he also bet on 13 games from January to March that he wasn't involved in.
Made 22 grand profit.
I was going to say the total winnings that he could have possibly made was like 70 grand. And he made $22,000. In that time, do you know how much he would have earned as an NBA player?
Oh, shit ton.
It was like $2.3 million US dollars he would have made
so
during that time.
So literally like the equivalent of just like 10 extra bucks, really?
Yeah, it's literally pocket change, isn't it, for him? Which, if that doesn't put it into perspective, because they all know that they're not allowed to bet specifically on the NBA. I don't know what the betting rules are if they were to bet on other sports, but I'd imagine they're allowed to do it. So go ahead and do your bets on ice hockey, on baseball, whatever you want, that you're into, just don't do it on your own sport, and definitely don't do it on a game you're involved in.
Yeah, I don't quite understand what the sort of angle was for him, because like we said, he's making a shit ton of money, so it couldn't have been an incentive to earn more money, like if he's only made 20 grand.
Has to be peer pressure. Like, has to be mates going, oh, mate, come on, you can make us all a good coin here.
I was thinking that, because surely it's not for the thrill either. There's no thrill if you know the outcome, like if you're fixing the outcome. There's no thrill in that at all. So it probably has to be, maybe he's helping out his mates. I wonder how much his mates made from it.
Well, they didn't. This is the other thing. Because of the circumstances, betting companies immediately froze. They were going to make $1.1 million, I believe, as a collective thing. And betting companies immediately froze it and have obviously flagged it with the NBA and been like, hey, this is suspicious. This dude that's kind of new. Some people have put unders, heavy money on unders, and we're not sure whether to, pay it out or not. So they didn't even make any money.
Well, but there we go. That seems like the incentive there. He's trying to make his mates some cash, I think.
Yeah. I mean, how on earth do you think you're going to get away with that? Like, if you're Jonte Poole, how on earth do you think you're going to pull the wool over the NBA's eyes? Like, do they not know how well connected these people are?
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly think that seems like a good idea to try and get away with it, because it'd be hard to actually question whether you're sick. But yeah. I guess it's how many times you can get away with that. The one thing that I find hilarious is like that he needs to find ways to manipulate the circumstances of him not getting over his line. Like, he's not a good player. Shit. Like, that's a safe bet. Just bet him under anyway, sick or healthy.
But I suppose, and this is where the conflict of interest comes in, because you obviously, if you're him, he's not an established NBA player. He's actually got his first crack in the league this season in a struggling Raptors team. He knows if he plays, he has to at least take shots and try and hit him for the sake of his career. Like, he's got to try and look like, I'm worth a roster spot.
Yeah.
So he's literally jeopardized his career to do this. And obviously we know that now with the ban, but like, I don't know, when you're given an opportunity to play professional sport, surely every time you walk out on the court, your main priority is, can I perform today? Like, can I keep my spot? If not just for a job and the money that I'm going to earn, like if you're not even interested in sport, but yeah, I just think it's absolutely wild that he's prioritized this over that.
Yeah, I guess he probably thought, I can make my friends a lot of money, and maybe he thought he'd get a cut of it. I don't know. I think it's not worth us speculating the intention.
It's very hard to rationalize, though, isn't it?
Despite how much we might, speculate, the fact of the matter is he did something ridiculous, and I think the punishment is fair, like absolutely fair. And that was going to be your question, right?
Yeah, I that was what I was obviously leading to, and I alluded to it before. So you think it's completely a fair punishment?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's these sort of sanctions have been pretty well communicated for a long time now that most leagues have a no tolerance policy. So I think you're completely aware of those consequences. So it's silly.
And the thing is, even the argument that you'd make your friends a lot of money, if you just play well, you'll earn a contract where you're probably getting 10 plus million a year.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you can give them $1 million if that's your prerogative.
Yeah, yeah.
It's wild, yeah. But I agree. I think it's a fair fair punishment given what they're told, and that they know that they're not allowed to do that, and he did it anyway. So thought he was bigger than the league.
Do you think some of the incentive is like ego-based, where it's like, I can get away with this? Like, surely that has to be an incentive, because like, we're ruling out the money, we're ruling out, the thrill of it. Like, there has to be something like that. Like, I'm bigger than the game.
Yeah, maybe. I think I possibly. Know. And I think we haven't spoken a bit about it, but obviously gambling is a serious addiction. And I'd assume to bet on games regardless of being league, knowing that you can't do that, like not this particular instance, you have to be a better, don't you? He's not doing that just randomly.
Maybe we're not considering. Maybe he's making all this money, but he's lost it all from betting. Potentially that, and maybe doing this was like a way to offset his losses. I don't know.
There's a lot we don't know in terms of that.
We won't know. We won't know unless, you know, we ask Jonte. And even that, we don't know if he'll be honest. But regardless, he's lost a great opportunity of becoming a pro athlete in the best league in the world. And I hope he, you know, finds a way to navigate through that.
I cannot imagine the conversation that Ross Lyon would have with him. The opportunity that you find a way here, Jonte.
Thanks for that, Ross. All right. Let's move into the bit of playoff news and some of the results and things like that. First of all, I just wanted to mention off the bat, I'm pretty disappointed with the play-in standards, especially, and even the playoffs in general. It's been pretty lackluster to start. Do you agree?
Yeah, and I think probably a result of a season that gets more tiresome and more difficult on the body each year, so we're probably reaping what we've sown to a degree here.
Yeah, I think like most of those playing games are absolute blowouts, which was disappointing because I think last year they were a lot closer.
Well, let's get into the results then. Shall I quickly recap the results I've got?
Absolutely.
So on Tuesday last week, Lakers beat Pels 110-106, so only a 4-point game. I think LeBron and AD were always going to do that against Pels. And Warriors were eliminated on the same day against Kings. Kings came up with the goods in the end. We all thought perhaps Curry and Clay could get going, but they didn't. Clay shooting terribly in that one. I think he was 0-10 and could be the end of his career, which I do want to get into as a Warrior. But then the other results were Heat lost to Philly by a point, and Embiid pretty lackluster, but they got the job done. And Bulls beat Hawks by 15 in that one.
Yeah.
So Bulls Philly progressed. Heat went to play Bulls in the whatever that other seed is, and Kings played Pels in the two losers in the West. Then those games were Pels beat Kings 105-98. Great result for them. I didn't see that coming. And Heat beat Bulls 112-91. So, yeah, you've ended up with Heat went through, Pels went through, Lakers went through, and Philly went through from the play-ins.
Yeah. Reasonable.
So, yeah, reasonable indeed. Some of them close, actually, looking back at the results. But I guess the game didn't feel close if you were watching it.
No, I think Philly and Heat, from memory, was one of the games that was really close. Both ended up advancing anyway, so.
Yeah. And do we want to recap the first the first games or no?
Yeah, let's recap the first games too. And again, these have all been pretty lackluster too, except for today's game, which was between OKC and Pelicans. That was 1 point in that game, and that was quite a tight game.
Yeah. Cavs have beat Magic by 14, 97-83, low scorer. Timberwolves beat Suns, 120-95. Good display. Didn't watch any of that. And it will be said, it's fucking annoying these early ones because they've been 3 a.m. and 5 a.m. our time. So I think we've only been able to watch the two later ones unless you're a night owl. Knicks beat Sixers 111-104. Nuggets beat Lakers 114-103. And then today you had Celtics beat Heat 114-94. Clippers beat Mavs 109-97. Bucks beat Pacers 109-94. And Thunder beat Pels 94-92. So again, there was only a real one close one.
Three
if you go Knicks, Sixers and Nuggets, Lakers. But disappointing start. There hasn't been a crazy level of basketball that we've seen yet.
No, not yet. But, you know, it'll pick up once it gets closer to, you know, maybe second, third, fourth games, depending on depending on the lead and stuff, I think that's when it starts to get pretty tense.
First one's always a feeler, and especially this year because you've got teams like Magic, Pels even. They don't have a whole host of playoff sort of experience. So,
yeah,
that'll come as it goes. Pacers, they don't have much. So you will get teams to settle into series, but whether it comes too late or not, that's the question.
Who are you picking as your winner? We did our brackets, and I think we're going to post them, yeah?
I was going to, but then I realized we did it on the same account. So when you did yours, I lost mine. And when I went to check mine, you lost yours. So,
I thought that might happen.
But we both had Celtics winning.
Yeah. All right, look, from very early on in the season, I picked Clippers to win, and I think they can still be a real hot favorite. I like Clippers.
Winning the first one against Mavs is a good result. It just puts their intent out there.
Yeah. I think it'll definitely be either Clippers or Celts.
Well, if you quickly go through each series, you don't have to say how many, but Celts are going to beat Heat. We both agree on that.
Yeah, I think so.
Cleveland against Magic. I think you had Magic.
I had Magic, yeah. I think as a little upset. I wouldn't be surprised if Cavs go through, but yeah, I think Magic might upset them.
Cavs 1-0. Magic, again, lacking that experience. I think Cavs will get it done, but Magic have been strong all year, so... Bucks, Pacers, I think...
I went Bucks.
Yeah, I had Bucks too, so I think
and
we
mate,
both
I,
had Bucks.
After seeing how Lillard performed today, I wouldn't be surprised if they went all the way in the East.
Yeah.
But it looks like they've... Lillard's
gone to a
just
different level, hey?
Playoff Lillard is a thing.
And this is without
unreal.
Giannis. He's out injured for the first few games, expected to miss a few games. Knicks Sixers. Who did you have?
I had Knicks.
I had Sixers, but Knicks have started strong, 1-0. I think I was expecting more from Embiid. Hopefully he can get going, but Knicks look very organized.
Yeah, and Embiid looked very proppy. I don't know if you saw, he sort of hurt his knee again.
He always does, though. He's one of those who sort of, like Anthony Davis, always hobbling about and always holding some part of him.
It's not inspiring much confidence into me, though. I think Knicks get it done.
Thunder Pels. I had Thunder quite clearly in this one. Pels
yeah,
made
I'd
it look
Thunder
interesting
too.
Today. Zion out with a hammy as well for at least 2 weeks, so probably misses this series. Big out.
Was it hammy? I thought they said it was a quad.
Well, they said a leg complaint, and then they said it was hamstring soreness. Which, if it's a proper hammy, he's gone for at least 3 or 4 weeks.
Join the club, brother.
We'll get into that, mate. So, Clippers, Mavs. I think I had Mavs.
Yeah, no, I got Clippers. I think I had them in like six, I think. So I think it'll
I
be a
Mavs
close
in
series.
Seven. Yeah, so still time for that. T-Wolves, Suns. I actually had Suns.
I had T-Wolves absolute
they have
blowout.
Yeah.
Clean sweep.
I had Suns in seven, I think, so I was expecting a close one, but it doesn't look like it would going to go that way. Suns just can't pull a rabbit out of the hat, it seems.
No.
And Nuggs Lakers, I think we both had Nuggs.
Yeah. Yeah,
probably look, five or six, I think they've got the job
they look
done.
Like proper champions, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And I just wanted to go back. I said, obviously, Warriors are out. They lost in the first round of the play-ins. Do you think it's time for the Clay, Green, Curry?
Clay played his last game for the Warriors.
You reckon?
Yeah, 100%.
I saw videos of him taking in the crowd as he left, and he clearly wonders whether he'll be there again for another game. In the press conferences, Green, Curry, Kerr, they all seem to suggest they want him back, but they're not going to say otherwise, are they, publicly?
Yeah, I think he's gone. I think they have to.
Smart. Yeah, I think that would be
they
smart.
They have to. I think they need to throw the chips around a little bit.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I think time for some other players to be given a chance and a mini rebuild to take place. I don't know how valuable. I think Clay may even be a free agent, so maybe you don't get anything for him. I think Chris Paul too. Probably move him on.
They need to experiment a bit there.
Yeah. which they have at times this year. So I think it's time to pull the trigger completely on that. And Green, I'd probably be letting go, but I think he just signed an extension at the start of this year. So
as much of a liability he is in regards to, you know, his behavior, he is a solid contributor. He is, I think he is a player that's important on the court. They just, yeah, I think they just need to keep working with him to sort out his issues.
But that's why I also think he's a good opportunity to move him on. I think lots of teams that are going to go into the playoffs would see him as a very valuable asset. Like, I know Dame Lillard could talk more highly of him.
Yeah, but if he is valuable, like, why not keep him? Like, I think he's not someone that you can replace easy. That's the point.
I think he just needs to be knocked down a peg or two and sort of be thrown into a new environment. Like, you've done enough shit here that we don't want yet.
Yeah, but I think you're talking,
maybe they would sort him out.
Yeah, but I think you're talking from his perspective. Like, I think that'd be good for him. I don't think that'd be the best thing for the Warriors, though. Like, I think he's still too important for them, but yeah, I don't know.
I just think the off-field stuff just brings a lot of controversy that they don't otherwise need.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, I think that would be definitely a big reason to consider moving him on. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's a tough one for them. Like, yeah, I think they've got a lot of thinking to do this off-season.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, that's my NBA wrap for the week, mate. Anything you want to say?
Go the Nets. All right. Croatian word of the week.
Did still away? Any updates on the holiday?
Nah, no updates. I've not heard from him at all. Clearly, he's pretty happy to be away from me. No, I think he's more than all right. I think he's enjoying his time away from me. So,
is he a Facebook kind of fella or not connected socially?
Yeah, super active. Twitter every day. No, he does not have any social media.
Do you think he'll be listening? Can we send him a quick message?
Listening is something he doesn't do well. He's almost fully deaf. So
sorry.
Yeah. I don't. He's very busy. He's over there building a house. So you know, he's got a lot on his plate.
Fuck it. Well, they not got younger blokes to do that for him.
They do. He's just stubborn. Yeah.
Does he need any rendering doing?
Yeah, if he does, you know, he better find someone because I won't be doing it. All right, this week's word is pobiedity.
Pobiedity?
Yeah, oh, you actually pronounced that all right. Pobiedity.
Pobiedity.
Yeah.
Is it one word that's not too
joined
together?
Yeah, it's one word. Pobiediti.
Pobiediti. Okay. Give us a clue then, mate.
Essential part of what we talk about on this pod in the word sports. Essential part of it.
Pobiediti. Look, I want to say publicity because it sounds like publicity.
Yeah.
So maybe like journalism or like...
No, what's the word when sounds like onomatopoeia? No, onomatopoeia.
I think it's called conjunctive verbs.
Is that
conjugated verbs?
What's onomatopoeia? Like, we'll give you an English lesson now.
That's
as well.
What it sounds like when a word like bang is an onomatopoeia. Like it sounds like what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess I wasn't completely wrong. But anyway.
No, you weren't. I'm going to go with fucking nothing. I have no clue. It's essential to the podcast. Sports.
No. Well, you are a fucking clown. I said it's essential to, yeah, what we talk about on the podcast in regards to sports. So it can't be sports.
Microphones. They're essential to this podcast.
Sports is essential. It's essential to sports.
Referees.
The point. Nah, like the sport would not exist without the
rules, the
construct of this. No, but the aim. What's the aim of a sport team? What do they want to do?
Competition to win.
Yes, win.
Win is popularity.
Popularity is win.
Fucking hell, that's a mouthful, isn't it? For just telling your mates, oh, how'd you get on? Popularity. Can't have the same ring to it as we got a good win. Thanks, mate. Anyway, shout out Simon Goodwin.
Simon Good Popularity.
That is not good publicity for him. I'm going to remember that as publicity when we do a test as well.
All right, mate. Well done.
Another riveting section, mate. Thanks for that.
I'd like to say you nailed it, but we got there in the end. Let's move on to a team who did enjoy some popularity in EPL.
Another big week. Every week's big in this time of year, isn't it? It's you can't afford to drop points, and none of the big three did this week. Although
no.
City didn't play, they obviously went through in the FA Cup. They'll play Man U in the FA Cup final. Man U didn't play either, obviously, because we were cruising to victory in a semi-final against Coventry, who are a very strong side, and it wasn't close. We didn't go to penalties or anything like that. It was just easy win. So, quick recap of the results, mate. Brentford beat Luton 5-1. Fucking doesn't get better for Luton down there.
No.
Burnley beat Sheffield United 4-1 in the relegation battle down there. That's pretty much sending them as well.
Yeah, nah. Sheff are gone. See it.
Arsenal beat Wolves. Very important 3 points for them. Everton beat Forest. And that was
a lot of controversy.
Well, there was a lot of social media around this one. I don't know if you saw it. Notts Forest did a rant on their social media about the refereeing. And they were
They said there was 3 penalties that they should have been given.
Yeah, but they were saying that the guy in VAR was a Luton fan.
Oh, really?
They put that on their official account, like in a release. They said, we told the FA that the VAR official was a Luton fan and they didn't listen. It sounded like your mate at the pub having a rant because they've lost. They've not probably edited. They've lost. Yeah. And he's just posted that. They've posted it on the official Twitter and Facebook. Oh, it's bad luck for me.
Yeah. It just sounds very petty, doesn't it?
It does, Harrison. And Crystal Palace beat West Ham 5-2. They look very good under this new coach, by the way. Just
they're
chipping firing.
Away.
West Ham, the opposite.
Yeah, they've got a very good front half, Crystal Palace. That Mateta, and we spoke about it last week, Alize and Eze. They're fucking good footballers.
Yeah, no, if they can hold on to them, because this is their trouble. They always get decent players, and then next minute they're gone. Sold for a pretty penny. Villa beat Bournemouth 3-1. Good result for them, top four race. And Fulham lost to Liverpool 3-1. Did you watch any of that one?
Watched all of the highlights.
How was it? I haven't seen any from that one.
Yeah, looks pretty stock standard result for us. I don't think we were under much trouble. We scored early goal. Alexander Arnold free kick was nice, top left bins, and then they equalised at the half, so it was 1-1, but then we came out firing second half, scored 2 goals, and pretty
good.
Pretty
keeps
standard.
The pressure on, doesn't it? It does keep the pressure on, and we'll get straight into the table. Arsenal sit top on goal difference. They've got 74, joint with Liverpool, who are also on 74, but Arsenal 8 more goals in their advantage, so that's going to be almost worth a point at least by the end of the season, perhaps. Man City didn't play this weekend, so they got a game in hand there, just behind on 73. Villa 66, bringing in the top four, and Tottenham 5th with 60. They've got 2 games in hand, actually, on Villa, but I think Villa looks stronger at the moment.
Yeah, I agree.
Bottom three, Sheffield United on 16. Yeah, trouble for them. Burnley on 23, Luton on 25, and Notts Forest on 26. It is still all to play for between those three in particular. I think Sheffield United can call it a day, though.
Yeah, I mean, you can see why there was maybe Notts Forest got a bit out of hand with their complaining. It was very tight down there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, big times in the EPL. So I don't know if there's any midweek games this week. There are. There's a few midweekers. Arsenal play Chelsea. Everton play Liverpool 5 a.m. on Thursday. Anzac Day fucking special oath. For us.
Fucking oh, for the boys in Gallup.
Everton play Liverpool for the boys in Gallup. Unreal. Palace play Newcastle. Man U Sheffield United, which is fucking a relegation battle. Brighton play City. This is one of the few chances that Liverpool have for a team to take points off City, I think.
Yeah.
And Wolves play Bournemouth. So we will check in next week with how that went and next week's games.
Beautiful, mate. Love your work. Let's, hopefully Liverpool get a win. Because you're barracking for Liverpool now, surely.
No, fucking oath. No, absolutely not. I will go. I think my hierarchy would be City to just win it again, because they'll hopefully get these deducted in due course anyway. Then Arsenal, then Liverpool. So please, anyone but them.
We didn't mention it quickly before we move out of this pod. It was disappointing for me during the week. City and Arsenal bowed out of the Champions League. So just gives them a chance to focus more on the league, which is a bit scary.
Good, yeah, I did put that on the agenda, so thank you for reminding me. And
yeah, I think Leroy's trying to remind you too.
City and Arsenal both out. No English team in the semis, the next round of the Champs League or Europa League.
Because, yeah.
Yeah, Liverpool also bowed out, which we'll just say quietly. Don't want to add insult to injury, do we?
We won the game. We're on a two game win streak, aren't we, Leroy? Yeah, beauty.
Leroy, shut up, mate.
Are we back, mate?
Yeah.
Yeah, beautiful. Thanks for that. All right. What did you watch? Mate, I posed this to you earlier in the week.
Skeptical, I was.
You were very skeptical.
And Yoda, apparently. Good, it was.
Funny. You're very skeptical. Again, you're not a fan of series and length and committing time to shows. So I think that's what scared you initially. But tell me, are you glad that you got stuck into Bambi Reindeer, which is what we chose this week, the new Netflix series?
I'll tell you what, mate, if you want my honest opinion.
I want your honest opinion.
It was fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed my experience. And I was skeptical if I'd have a chance to finish it. And you know what? I finished it in 2 days, so it was that good.
It's one of them ones, isn't it?
It was really good. I did not expect it to be that good. I thought it was semi-interesting sounding story. I don't know, rolled and carried on and brought different things to light. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you did. I watched it. Pretty much the same thing in 1 or 2 days. I just couldn't stop watching it. And it's for those of you who are intending to watch it, they're not too long episodes. They're about 30 to 40 minutes and it's like 7 episodes. So, it's not too much of a commitment for a series. But, thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know if I want to speak too much about it. I don't want to potentially ruin the experience or anything else.
Yeah,
but
I'm conscious that other people might not have had a chance to watch it yet. So I don't know if we can just talk loosely about what it's about.
Yeah, we'll talk loosely. We'll give a little brief preview of it, I guess. So essentially, the what's his Richard Gadd, is that his name?
I don't know.
I think let me look that up quickly because I don't want to get that wrong. Essentially, so this person is a real life person, so it's a true story. Richard Gadd. Yeah.
It's so a Richard true story. Gadd, legit.
Yeah, do you not know that?
I did not know that, no.
Yeah, so Richard Gadd is a Scottish comedian and writer. I don't think he was very massive, but he developed this play. So it was originally a play called Baby Reindeer. And it did really well at Scottish festivals and things like that. And he traveled, traveled around with it around the globe, and got a lot of praise. And then they decided to make it into a Netflix adaptation. But anyway, the play was based on his real life experience with a stalker. So he literally worked at a bar, and a lady came in one day, and he was nice to her, saw that she was upset, and he offered her a cup of tea. And he's like, literally, that is how it started. So she developed this.
That's blown my mind a bit. I was watching it at times thinking, I don't know if they needed to add that. And
yeah, no,
they did.
Yeah, no, that's what's crazy. So, yeah, I think they sort of give the sense that, you know, it's this because there's a lot of recently, I don't know, I think that sort of genre of a stalker has been pretty prominent, especially with shows like You and things like that. But it's definitely, I think that it's a real story has given it this whole new atmosphere to it. But that's funny that you didn't even know that beforehand and still enjoyed it. So I knew that going into it, and it heightened the experience for me too. But anyway, yeah, so he's dealing with this stalker who's infatuated with him. And she had been in jail previously for stalking other people. But so it goes through him trying to become this successful comedian while that's happening, trying to navigate his sexuality. And then it becomes apparent throughout the series that he's dealing with abuse as well, and being raped, sexually abused. So it's just there's so many dark and harrowing themes as well. That what I think the show does really well is it explores all these things very neutrally. There's no agenda attached to it. It's just very matter of fact. This is what happened.
Yeah.
In his life, which
I think that's what I liked about it most. The themes, like I said, it feels at times like you're watching different shows, doesn't it? As it I don't know how to sort of say that properly, but as it sort of gets going and gets into different constructs and themes within the movie, fucking TV show, whatever it is. It really develops, and you're just going it's discussing these really big pivotal things, like the abuse stuff in particular, and the cycle of abuse, the cyclical nature of abuse. They do that really well.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I won't say too much more because it really is worth a watch, this show. But yeah, that cycle of abuse, it documents it so well in a way that is, digestible as well without being too heavy.
I think it's a very candid approach as well. And I like how he takes accountability even for, the horrible things that are happening to him, which I think is exceptionally brave considering that it's a true story.
Yeah.
So he's literally being vulnerable to everyone that watches this. And I just think that's brilliant. And I don't know if I mentioned before, he's actually the actor in it too. So that's him.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I just looked it up because he plays Donnie. He's not called Richard.
Nah. Yeah. So he plays Donnie, who's the main character in the show. Yeah. So, it tackles all these really, really interesting and incredibly difficult themes. But what I also loved about it was that it had this really funny element to it. Like the show was like,
I suppose, being
really
a comedian,
funny throughout.
He would, yeah, like he would sort of put it in this light where it's very, I don't, and the monologue and narration throughout, like obviously breaks that fourth wall. Is it the fourth wall?
Yeah. Breaks the fourth.
TV. Yeah. Where you're kind of like, I don't know, you're having the same thought processes as you're watching, and then he's talking you through it. And that was just, yeah, really well written and fucking brilliant acting too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And yeah, I think it would have been very difficult to like balance that line with like these really cathartic sort of themes and keeping it light at the same time. Like I'm not sure how he balanced that so well, because there's never a time when you feel like, maybe that shouldn't have been angled in a funny way, or that was a bit too morbid. Like the balance is just perfect for me.
No, it never makes light of something too much that you go, oh, I don't know if you know, you're throwing us off there, where that's actually a really important and dangerous topic to talk about and speak that way. Like really well.
As a show to ignite conversations around these things in an open way, like I can't think of any better, to be honest. Like,
almost true crime now. If it's a true story, if you're just interested in true crime and that way, you could watch it too.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I'm gonna go ahead and say it's up there in my favorite shows ever. Like, I really enjoyed it.
I said that, I mean, I was talking everyone through it who was in the house as I was watching it, because I was just like, I just want to explain how good this is. And like the emotional roller coaster that's taken me on. And I said immediately after it finished, it's probably top five.
Yeah. And like,
without question, to be honest.
100%, and it's so well written. Like there is stuff where you like on a cliffhanger, and then shit happens that you don't expect as well. Like it is brilliantly written in that regard, where you think, oh, it's, you know, the standard things gonna happen. Stalker does this, blah blah blah. But then you just take in a complete different direction. You're like, what the fuck?
Mm. There's twists and turns everywhere you look. So yeah, I can only say that I'd recommend watching it, so you can indulge as well, because it's super insightful.
Yeah, and I could talk all day about it, but we'll leave it there. Let us know what you think when you watch it. Brilliant. Richard Gadd, amazing work, and I can't wait to revisit that down the line.
A closing thought, he does look like a reindeer. I can see why she chose that nickname for him.
All right, reindeer. Yeah, so, brilliant acting by her, by the way, as well.
Oh, she absolutely.
Fucking super acting. Everyone in it was brilliant. So,
yes.
Yep. Baby Reindeer, 10 out of 10.
Chuck it on your list. Yeah, top draw.
All right, mate, let's get into our song of the week.
Yeah, do you want to kick us off this week, mate? I feel like you always throw to me, but what have you got for us?
I'll kick us off, mate. Some people might say there's nepotism involved again with this one.
Just explain nepotism for those of us who don't know what it means.
Nepotism means that there is potential favouring involved.
Yep.
If that's a way to describe it.
I think that's fair.
But so this next song is by a band that we have a close tie to. Two members of this band are in our band. They're a very, very fucking good band, and this is our way of giving our boys a bit of praise and giving recognition to a song that definitely deserves it. It's a fucking banger. It's their second release. The band's called Tile. From Melbourne, and this new song was released last week, and it's called I Can Wait. And it's fucking phenomenal. So, boys, if you're listening, well done. Great track, and I hope you listeners will get around it too.
Yeah, really good track. And I think I was in the studio with Tom a little while ago, and he showed me this, as he likes to show us the stuff he's been working on. And yeah, this one was stuck in my head immediately. So it's not really a pop song, but it's definitely got a hooky element to it. So definitely worth a listen.
Go on, mate. What do you got for us?
Mine is also a band out of Melbourne, or a person out of Melbourne, and I've gone for Courtney Barnett. The song being Elevator Operator, which is, yeah, a great little story within a song. What made you choose this one, mate? I don't know. I think I wanted to do an Australian artist, and I couldn't think of one that I've found recently, so I went to the well of brilliant Melbourne acts, and that is Courtney Barnett. Could be almost top of the chart there.
Potentially one of the greatest Australian artists ever, I will say that.
Great story writing within her songs, and I think that's what's so endearing, because she almost does it in a special spoken word kind of singy way, and probably has got the credit she deserves over time, but didn't initially. So yeah, she's fantastic, and it's a great song.
She's pioneered a whole genre, really.
Yeah,
absolutely. Subgenre of music,
and this is an older song, but still making music.
And more impressively, she's pioneered like a whole culture, honestly, within that Melbourne sort of scene.
It's so Melbourne, isn't it? Like to listen to Courtney Barnett is just like going to the footy.
Yeah, nah, love Courtney. So good choice. All right, mate. Good work. We'll add that straight to the playlist and get stuck into it, listeners of our podcast. All right, let's get into our last segment. We all know what it is by now, surely. If you don't, it's called Isaac Rankings.
Ranking! It's ranking time!
Alex. We have something crazy in store, don't we, for our listeners today?
I'm running out of ideas, folks. So pop them into the emails and let us know what you want us to rank. We'll put it in the rank bank.
You can decide. It's either we've run out of ideas or we have a lot of ideas. We're just really lazy to execute them.
Yeah, absolutely. Did actually get an email on a side note. I don't know if you saw that, to our account. And it was someone who'd watched the footy reel, and they'd said they wouldn't mind us playing eight ball, which is also known as pool, which I wonder if you can guess who that is.
Tell me who that was.
Tell me why. It is the one and only billiards champion himself.
CK. You know what? That's actually not a bad suggestion.
No, that would be a good one. Yeah.
So thanks for that.
Maybe you could come along and give us some tips, some pointers on how to hold the cue correctly.
I reckon we've got that covered, mate. okay. We actually haven't said what we're doing. This week, we're going to be doing another random letter generator. We know you loved that the last two times we did it. We actually forgot which letters we'd already done. So we went back and made sure to rule those out, which were E and P. So today, Alex, have you got a letter for us?
I don't. Was I supposed to do the generator? Right, let me get it up, mate. Random letter generator. Here we go. Are you ready? Put a drum roll.
I'm fucking ready. Are we going to wait before you do it? Five of them, yeah?
We'll go just quick fire. Just lock them out. I feel like it's good fun when we do that. And the letter this week is, you could say it rolls off the tongue because it is R. Are you ready for this segment?
Are you going to the mall? No, I'm not going to the mall, mister. Keep spelling. Anyway, if anyone knows that reference.
R for ra.
Sorry, repeat that. I was not listening.
R for ra.
R for ra?
Yeah, I love ra.
What is that?
No, I've not started us off. I was just saying.
I thought that was your number five. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Phonetically, I was just saying that's how it sounds.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. Thank you. Yep. Thank you for helping me with that confusion.
Right. Do you want me to kick us off?
Yes, please.
I am going with roast dinners. I love a good roast in winter. So roast dinners is right up there for me, but it's my number five.
Nice. All right. I'm going my number five, rollerblades. Mate, I can't believe I thought of that now, because that genuinely could be number one. I fucking love rollerblading.
Yeah, I can tell you do, mate. You are one of those kids, aren't you? The rollerblade kids. Did you ever tie your bag and have them going into school?
Nah, there were a couple of times I did rollerblade to school, though.
You're one of those, you'd be on the four wheelers, wouldn't you? Not the straight line ones.
Nah, I was straight line, and I used to fucking pretend I was playing ice hockey and set up like a little bin and try and get a golf ball in with a putter. That was my ice hockey. Know.
You are Charlie Conway, aren't you? Mr. Mighty Ducks himself.
All right, mate, what's your number four?
My number four, it's not glamorous, but it is effective, and that is rail.
What do you mean rail?
Like, using trains, it's super handy to get around, and obviously they use railways. I think I'd take public transport frequently, but you know, we rank that. So yeah, rail, very effective and efficient transport system.
Good stuff, man. All right, mine. Now, people listening to this might think, you know, I was inspired by your word, but I already had this in the bank. So let's change one letter there. And we get rain.
Yeah, essential rain. For crops.
Mate, essential for the ecosystem. The world would not exist without the benefit of rain. So, yeah, you know what I mean? It's just, it's great. No. Mate, and rain in spring or summer is the best thing ever. When you wake up, after it's been raining on a hot day, that smell.
Oh,
I think I rank that in my smells. So there we go. Rain.
Very good. And I'm going to follow up my last transport one with another effective use of transport, and that would be roads. Pretty essential.
You genuinely love transport, don't you?
I just love getting around, getting from A to B, mate. It is fucking brilliant.
Awesome. All right, number three. Now, this pairs with my number four. If you're going to enjoy the rain, you're going to need a raincoat. So, don't be silly and go out in that rain without a raincoat, ladies and gentlemen. That's what it's made for.
Very true. I've got an honourable mention here. I think rankings...
Wait, you're still at number two.
Oh, well, yeah, this is my honourable mention in between. And I think rankings are a very fun thing to do. So I'm going to stick them as an honourable mention.
Nice. What's your number two?
Rugby. All forms. Rugby union, rugby league. I like watching a game of rugby. So, yeah. Big sports fan.
All right, this one. Look, I get a lot of this, and I know you make fun of my age on the podcast quite frequently.
Yeah.
All right. And I, you know, fair enough. There's nothing wrong with that. But the beautiful thing about it is I often get told that I am under 21. A lot of people, when I tell them my age, they are very surprised.
Wrinkles begins right? with W, mate.
They're very surprised. And this is why I think I look so youthful, and I credit it to razor blades.
Razor blades.
So razor blades, you know, keeps me clean shaven, looking young and fresh, so I can deceive people that I'm not as old as Alex tells everyone that I am.
Yeah, fair, mate. And also, you've led me to another honourable mention there. I think razor scooters deserve a shout out. I don't know if you ever had a razor scooter growing up. They were an absolute ankle snapper. Dense old things, but we got around on them all right.
Yep.
I've got a couple more I could do. It's tough to pick sometimes. I'm going to go with radio for number one. It's not quite enjoyable. Obviously, we've been offered a few shows together now. You know, we keep turning them down because it's not about the money. It's for the enjoyment. And can't get the same enjoyment. We wouldn't be able to take our fans over with us. But radio, the radio waves and frequency is a good thing.
Nice one, man. So that's your number one.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I had a few, but yeah, I've gone radio.
I got a few. I got honourable mention here. Ringo Starr.
any transport for us, mate?
He's the most underrated Beatle. I think he deserves a mention in our rankings here.
Yeah, fair. Rage Against the Machine, another honourable mention. Sorry.
Honourable mention, Ringworm.
Yeah, Rabies up there too.
Yeah, I think depending on what you're into, Ringworm can be quite enjoyable. So, honourable mention for me.
Yeah, fair. Ray Bans is another one I've missed as well. I quite like those.
Hey, you've had yours, mate. All right, which leaves me to my number one. And I'm probably admitting that I have an issue right now with this number one, but I don't give a fuck because it's roulette. And, mate, it's red. Red on roulette. It never fails. Jonte Porter. You know what I'm talking about, brother.
Dap me up, bro.
Oh, yeah. How good's roulette? Roulette's fun.
Cheeky. I do like that. Is my go-to at the casino because it's just the easiest to play, to be honest.
I think it's
red. Lock it in.
It's the most fun, I think. All right, that's good. I like these little quick fire ones. And you learn something about yourself. I never thought I'd be that into Ringworm, but it came up and clearly
Yeah, fair enough, mate. And I think you did miss a few key transportation methods, but we'll leave it to you on that one. Clearly you don't have the same passion for getting around town.
Nah, I don't. What did I miss?
Road biking.
And that's the end of our episode, folks. Road biking.
Light rail.
Road cars.
Rally drivers.
Road walking. good stuff.
Good stuff. All right. See you at episode 34.
We will. Yeah, anything you want to leave the listeners with?
Yeah, I've said more than enough, to be honest, on this episode.
Enjoy your Tuesday afternoon and day. And remember, I don't even know what my saying was going to be. Oh, yeah, at the end of the day, it's night.
That's it.
How do you like that for my new catchphrase? I've been working on that.
See ya. See you on the road, bikes.